Hey guys, I'm your host Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to this week's episode of Kowabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. We have recently updated the Kowabana merchandise store and added some new designs, so head over to kowabana.store to check it out. You can grab shirts, mugs, masks, stickers, hats, and much more, all with exclusive Japanese horror designs. Head over to kowabana.store to check that out. On this week's episode, we're looking at some of the net lore, the creepypastas, that have featured in the Other Side Picnic anime thus far. I highly recommend the show and books if you haven't checked them out yet, as they make liberal use of the many stories you can find on NiiChannel. Several stories have already featured on Kowabana over the years, such as Hashaku-sama, Kankan-dara, Kisaragi Station, and so on. But this week, we're going to fill out the rest of the stories from the anime that haven't yet appeared on this show. So, without further ado, let's head right on in. This first story is a bit of a strange one, and one that I read a long time ago but didn't choose to translate at the time because, well, it's a bit weird. But with that out of the way, let's head over to Atsuma Beach. This happened last Sunday, 3 days ago. Tokui-san, Yoshioka-san, and I went to Suma Beach. We went by bike, seeing as we don't live that far away, but when we went down the road near the bus stop close to the beach, four Bosōsoku gang members had stopped their bikes there. Turning around would just draw their attention even more, so I pretended not to care and deliberately started talking as we passed them. "So, about that game we played yesterday." Then the back of my bike hit some part of their bike that was modded or something. "Shit," I thought, but maybe they didn't notice it, so I kept going. "Hey, hey, wait up. What do you think you're doing to somebody else's bike? You really gonna ride off without saying a thing?" I froze on the spot. "Or maybe you actually have balls, huh? You're not scared of us, huh?" one of the Yankees said and got right up in my face. "No, no, I am very scared. You look so strong and I'm so scared that I'm shaking," I said, flattering him. Then one of them suddenly got on his bike and grabbed Tokui-san's arm. "Hey, I'll take you for a ride," he said, taking off and dragging Tokui-san along behind him on his bicycle. "Please, I didn't have anything to do with it," Tokui-san pleaded, but the bike sped off into the distance. Tokui-san's bicycle went off into the distance as well, but before long he fell, and his legs hit the raised part in the middle of the road, messing up the toe on his right foot badly.
"Oh, I didn't even do anything! Oh God!" he cried in pain.
"It's just like Back to the Future," the Yankee almost laughed himself to death.
"Wow, you're just like a stuntman," I said, trying to curry the Yankee's favor.
"So, you can do these sort of tricks with a bike, huh? I want to get a bike license too. Are they fun to ride?"
I desperately appealed to him, no idea of what I was saying.
"You're next," he grinned, and then grabbed Yoshioka-san.
Then someone suddenly kicked my back, and I fell over.
"Quit carrying on like a fool," one of them said, and then tried a judo trick out on me while I was on the ground.
"Ah, that hurts," I cried, and I grabbed a stone, but then I let it go.
"It's the grand opening of the Suma World Cup," the Yankee said, and then kicked my head.
They smashed Yoshioka-san's face over and over with an iron pole. He cried without fighting back. Tokui-san held his leg and didn't move.
"These bitches got no balls whatsoever, huh?" one of the Yankees said, bursting out into laughter.
They continued kicking me, and then a single car pulled up and stopped. A man stepped out of the car. He looked to be around 30 years old.
"Marumaru-san! Good evening!"
The Yankee smiled and greeted him.
"Hey, hey!
The King of Suma Beach, Marumaru Nisan, is here, the man said in a loud voice, and then kicked Tokui-san on the ground as hard as he could.
Oh, that hurts, Tokui-san screamed.
What's wrong with you? Why are you lying on the road? You want someone to run you over? The man said, and stepped on him. Tokui-san suddenly froze and stopped moving at all.
Hey,
this guy's dead, the man screamed and got back in his car. You guys are murderers, he said to the Yankees and then drove off.
Ooh-ah,
one of the Yankees said after he went over to Tokui-san. They all got on their bikes and then disappeared. My face hurt so bad that I continued lying on the ground for a while. Yoshioka-san bent over on the grass while Tokui-san lay unmoving on the ground, and 10 minutes passed, just like that. We lay there in the dark for a while, but then I grew scared.
Hey, Tokui-san,
I called out. He still didn't move. At that moment, I heard a sound coming from the beach. I didn't even have time to wonder what it was. I heard a chant, something like, An, Myo, Ji. And out of the darkness, a green child came running towards us. I was terrified and closed my eyes. Seriously, was petrified. I mean, a tiny green child came running at us. Then I think the child screamed in this really loud voice,
Jo, Mi, Shin!
Yoshioka-san started crying. Scared, I opened my eyes and there were swaths of people standing behind the streetlight on the other side of the road. Their faces all looked like aliens.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
They all screamed together and then rushed over to Tokui-san. Then all of the aliens started crying. I was so scared that I got on my bike and fled. Yoshioka-san later called me and we met at the family mart in front of the park. The next day, it turned out that Tokui-san had died, but what scared me was all of the aliens screaming out, Yuki! And crying. His full name was Tokui Yuki, but the fact that they knew that terrified me. I wonder what on earth all of that was, huh?
Nii Channel loves a good cursed story. The type where, if you hear it, you're cursed as well. We've featured numerous stories of this type on Kowabana over the years, and this is yet another, so if you're superstitious, then you might want to skip on ahead. This story is about an old woman who shows up looking for teeth, but who she is and what she exactly wants is a mystery. This particular tale played out over numerous replies and questions from other users at the time, much like Kisaragi Station, so I've included those in the story to get the full picture. But let's head right on in and check it out. This one's called Sannuki Kano. About 1 week ago, I found a monkey in my garden. It wasn't a real monkey, but it looked like a cross between a human and one. It was early, so at first I thought I was dreaming, but after washing my face and checking again, it was still there. I was so shocked that I almost fell over, and then we locked eyes. The monkey grinned and then placed something nearby before speaking. It was on the other side of the glass and it mumbled its words, but I was able to understand what it was saying, kinda like telepathy or something. Sannuki Kano is coming, so show her this when she comes. If you say that you took it, then she will also give you one. Then bury it in the yard. Then the monkey sped over the fence and disappeared. I went outside to check and the monkey had left a tooth. I think it was human. Probably a molar. At any rate, I still have it. I'm so scared thinking about what might come soon that I can't sleep. I got one. I buried it.
did Sun Nuki Kano look like? Human, I think. She spoke to me through the window, but I'm still scared. Sun Nuki is probably her last name, and I guess Kano is her first. She looked like a regular old lady. Explain the situation around meeting her. I was taking a midday nap and an old lady was standing outside, in the same spot as the monkey. I live in the countryside, so neighbours have come over into the yard before, but this person was clearly a stranger, and she was wearing an elegant kimono as well. I sat up in a daze and the old woman knocked on the window glass. It was like she wanted me to open it, and it was at that point that I woke up. "Who is it?" I asked. "I am Sun Nuki Kano," she replied. She grinned, but that just made me more frightened. Still, I took the tooth I'd received out of the drawer and showed it to her. The atmosphere immediately changed.
"What's that?"
"I got it for you."
"Really?"
"Yes." She fell silent for a moment, but then the smile on her face disappeared. Then she removed something from her sleeve and placed it at her feet. She bent over as she did so, and then, in that same position, sped off out of the yard. Nobody else was outside, so I don't think anyone saw it. When I went out, there was a single tooth on the ground. I took a photo after washing it. The darkness frightened me, so I buried both teeth in an open space in the yard before evening fell. "That wasn't a human, but I'm intrigued. If possible, could you at least tell me which area you're from?" "I'm from the Tohoku area. I think it's all over now, but I'd be lying if I said it didn't bother me. It'd be nice if we had a reference library or something nearby, but it appears we don't. I don't want to ask around and discover any weird taboos or anything. Without prying too much, I hope it's nothing. But apparently my mother found the corpse of a sparrow near where I buried the teeth early this morning. I think she got rid of it already, so I wasn't able to take a photo. Well, she probably would have stopped me if I tried anyway." "Maybe it's not Sun Nuki, but Sun Noki. In the countryside where my mother's family lives, I recall that they try to scare children by saying, 'Sun Noki is coming, it'll take you away.' I vaguely remember a story I heard from an elder when I was a child about an oni or something called Sun Noki. It would find children by the sounds of their cries. All you had to do was stop crying before it arrived, but if you didn't, then you would be marked. Then at night, Sun Noki would visit the child's house and steal them away. Things would be all right if you tightly locked the house up, so it was like a warning to make sure all of the windows and doors were closed. I'm pretty sure that even if you didn't get snatched away, if you had the mark, then you would still fall ill or something too." The neighborhood association had a big cleanup recently, so I asked about the tooth. Apparently, the old woman's name isn't her actual name. "Don't talk about it because you'll spread misfortune to others," they said. I wasn't able to find out who exactly the monkey and the old woman were. But apparently, there was an old custom of removing a single tooth from a dead person as a good luck charm. It's not like it happened everywhere, though, when the practice is no longer carried out today. Maybe the monkey was working for my ancestors or something, to protect me from the old lady. When I mentioned that I already told everyone the old lady's name, they said they would give me a talisman and to chant the old woman's name backwards to get rid of the bad luck. This next story is also a little, to put it politely, absurd. A man claims to be under attack by, of all things, ninja cats. They stand on two legs and wear ninja clothing and carry around swords. As ridiculous as it sounds, he claims it's true, and the thread was the beginning of a brief ninja cat phase that saw various knee channelers sharing photos of what they claimed were also ninja cats, and even visiting the supposed location of the story in question. Of course, no actual ninja cats were ever found. But let's get right into it.
This one's called I'm Being Attacked by Ninja Cats. Something strange started happening 1 week ago, so please hear me out. First off, let me say I'm not a dreamer, and I'm not schizophrenic, nor am I sick. Please don't laugh. I'm being real here. Recently, I've come under attack by ninja cats. I'll start in order from 1 week ago. I think it was around midnight a week ago. I always exercise at the park, and so I was jogging and such there like always. Anyway, when I was done, I sat at the top of the slide and ate some delicious cream of corn soup. Then I heard this rustling sound rapidly approaching me from behind. Huh? I thought, and turned in that direction. Something small, like a child running at full speed, stopped in the middle of the park. What's a kid doing out this late? I thought. Not to mention how fast they were. As various thoughts ran through my head, this time the same rustling came from the other side and then stopped in the middle of the park. There was no way they were human. They were too small and didn't move like people at all. I watched them in silence, trembling the whole time. They had realized I was there. Yep. Tears filled my eyes. After a short amount of time, the rustling got closer. And as they got closer, I slowly saw what they were in the moonlight. Cats? They were walking on two legs. Unbelievable. And they were holding something. I started to panic. Cats? Walking that quickly on two legs? In black clothes? Cloth? They were dressed like ninjas. And holding something. What? As I panicked, one of them jumped. Then I saw what they were holding. It was like a jagged sword. The cat thrust it at me. Was it trying to stab me? It happened in slow motion, and then I finally understood what was happening. I almost wet myself and then ran down the slide to escape. There was another at the bottom. It was also holding a sword. I thought it was all over. I desperately ran and kicked sand at the cat. It flinched. Now! I had no time to check on the cat above me. I ran. I ran so fast all the way home that I probably set a world record or something. I locked the door behind me, pulled the curtains closed, and then trembled with fear. After things calmed down, various ideas ran through my head trying to explain what happened. It had to have been a hallucination. That was what I convinced myself before I went to sleep. 3 days passed and nothing happened. So yeah, it had to have been a dream or a hallucination or something. That was what I thought. But on the third night, they came to my house. It wasn't a dream. Yeah, if it had been, I wouldn't have remembered it so distinctly. I was on the way back home from work. I think it was around 8 p.m. and there were an oddly large number of cats around. I love cats, and having forgotten about that night, I went over to pat one. Ow! It scratched me. But it was cute, so I couldn't stay angry. It continued to hiss at me, so sadly I stood up to leave. I looked around. Eh? The ground seemed to be moving. There was like 30 of them. So many cats. I remembered what happened 3 days earlier, and scared, I stomped on the ground, trying to scare the cats as I rushed back home. I was trembling yet again, almost in tears. They were just regular cats, so I was okay. I convinced myself that they just gathered because I was squatting and they thought I might have food. Yeah. Nothing else happened after that, so after eating, I soon forgot about it. I had a bath and, because I was so tired, I went to bed at around 11 p.m. A strange rustling sound woke me up. I looked at the clock and it said 2:10 a.m. Oh no, I woke up at a strange time. What was that sound? Who cared? Time to get back to sleep before I fully woke up.
A few seconds later, it started again. It was so noisy. What the hell was that? Huh? The sound kept going around the house. At that moment, I again remembered what happened 3 days earlier. Trembling, I peeked out through a gap in the curtain. It was them. There were so many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were more than last time. What the hell? It wasn't a dream? Terrified, I jumped back into bed. They were walking and running around and around the house. I must have fallen asleep again before long. Next thing I knew, it was morning, and although I was scared, I made sure to go to work. Once work was done, I returned home. There were no cats. But, as expected, that night they showed up again, running and walking around the house. I was scared, but it wasn't like they were harming me, so I blocked my ears and went to sleep. Then last night, it finally started. They started banging and rattling the windows, banging and hitting the walls. Ugh, were they trying to get in? The windows at my house have covers on the outside. I don't know the proper name, the brown things. So I'm not worried about them breaking in, but if they figure out how to open the covers, then... They continued until 4 a.m. I honestly thought I was going to wet myself. Of course, I was unable to get any sleep. Then today, they came again. Just like yesterday, they banged and scratched at the walls. I have the day off work, so I'm glad. Will they come again today? Or, I suppose more correctly, will they come again tomorrow? This next story is considered the first in what later became known as the Time-Spaceman series. The Jikū Osan, as he's known in Japanese, went on to feature in numerous stories shared on Nii Channel across the years, all from different people in different places and different situations. There may be more than one of them, and while they share several traits in common, they're all distinct stories. What ties them together is that the man, or men, seem to be the protectors of time and space, and they don't like it when people somehow end up in their territory. This first one's called The Time Watchman. This happened about 2 months ago. It might have been a dream, but please listen. I woke up at 10 in the morning. It's already 10, huh? University started at 9:30, but I was always a little late, so I wasn't in a rush. By the way, I live only 3 minutes from university. I ate breakfast, the previous night's leftovers, and got ready for school, and by the time I finally got there, it was 10:24 a.m. I checked on my phone. There wasn't a single person there. Like, zero people at all. Everyone's at class, huh? Good for them, I thought. And so, I made my way towards my own class. When I got there, I looked inside, but nobody was there. Huh? Did I get the room wrong? I thought. I checked my paper, but I was definitely in the right place. Weird, I thought, and as I went to leave, my phone rang. This was the strangest thing of all, but when I looked at my phone, it said, "Nobody," in English letters. Like, there was no way for the phone to display English letters, right? But still, I answered the phone. "Yes? Hello?" The moment I said that, an old man screamed at me. "Why are you here?" "Who is this?" "That doesn't matter. How did you get here?" "I'm sorry? What are you talking about?" "Look outside." "Quit messing around," I said, and hung up. But I was intrigued, so I went over to the second floor veranda to look outside. I could see the university grounds, and in the middle stood an old man. Looking closer, he had what looked like a phone pressed to his ear. As I stared at him, the old man slowly turned to look at me. "Shit!"
The old man put his hand in his pocket. I didn't know why, but I felt like I was in danger, and so I ran back into the classroom. At that moment, I felt my body stretch, a sensation I'd never felt before.
What the?
And then I woke up. I was lying down in my room, and the clock said it was 8 o'clock exactly. What a strange dream. That was what I thought as I got ready for school. And then I noticed something strange. When I opened the fridge, the leftovers from the previous night were gone. The dishes were still there in the kitchen. I still think that the old man I saw that time was perhaps a time watchman or something. But I don't remember his voice or what he looked like at all. I just remember that it was an old man. I don't know why, though.
This next one is yet another person's experience with the time spaceman, this time while at school. This one's called Old Man in the Playground. I don't know if this is a scary story, but I once spent a few extra minutes at school during class. I was a junior high student at the time, and I'd stayed up late the previous night playing video games. And so, I was super sleepy during class the next day. I was dozing off when suddenly I heard someone call out my name. "Come to the front and finish this problem." I got called to the blackboard, so I got up and walked over to it. I didn't understand the problem, and I was half asleep, so I just stood there. It was embarrassing, but I thought I should apologize for not understanding it.
"I don't get it, sorry," I said, and turned to look at the teacher, but he wasn't there. Nobody was there. The classroom was empty and silent. I couldn't hear a single sound. There was this weird sense of discomfort. It crushed me and made me feel sick. So I looked out the window at the schoolyard. I figured maybe PE class was on or something. But instead, I saw an old man working in the middle of the yard. "What is he doing?" I thought. And at that instant, he noticed me and looked at me with this strange look on his face. Then he shoved his hand into his jacket pocket. That's all I remember. Next thing I knew, I was sitting in class and, just like before, the teacher asked me to come up to the front of the class to solve the problem. I was worried everyone might disappear again, so I said, "No, thank you, I'm good." Everyone laughed, but I felt like I was about to burst into tears. Maybe because I looked so serious about it, the teacher then took me to the nurse's office. I still find the whole thing strange. But the weirdest thing of all is that I remember the old man's surprise and the strange look on his face, but I can't remember what his face or even his clothes looked like at all.
In this next one, a young boy finds the time spaceman in a very peculiar place. This one's called The World Beneath the Toilet. Ever since I was a child, I think it was normal to say that I must have been dreaming. But even so, there's one memory that remains clear in my mind, a memory I just can't come to grips with. At the time, my parents left me to stay with some relatives in Kadoma City, Osaka Prefecture, because of their work. It was the 70s, and their toilet was an old scoop-style one. There was a large hole in the middle of the toilet bowl, and you could see everything that was beneath it. I remembered hating it because it stank and was scary. One day, I was playing outside and when I returned home, I went straight for the toilet. It was still the middle of the day when it happened. I didn't wake up during the night and it wasn't early morning. I was wide and fully awake. I opened the wooden door with a creak and went inside. I'm pretty sure there was a plastic lid on the toilet. As I went to lift it, I noticed something strange. It was oddly bright inside the toilet.
I looked inside and gasped. I could see the ground, roughly 2 meters below. You get what I'm trying to say. Normally it was a pitch black space full of filth, but it was full of midday light, and I could see the ground covered in pebbles below. What the? I thought, troubled. Is this really okay for me to use? I stared at the world on the other side of the toilet bowl, stunned. Suddenly, a figure directly below flashed by. Before I even had time to think, the figure came back. I think it noticed my gaze. It was a middle-aged man with patches of white hair, maybe in his 50s or 60s. Even now, I still clearly remember what he looked like. He wore a shabby hat. Have you ever seen the fishmongers taking part in auctions on TV? It was a hat like they wear. And he had a dirty towel wrapped around his neck. His face was tanned and burnt from the sun. The man looked up, and our eyes locked. We stared each other down for a few seconds, and then he screamed. "Boy, you'll be in danger if you keep looking down from there." I turned around and ran from the toilet. My relatives were working at a nearby udon shop at the time. I ran into the store, grabbed the wife, and tried to explain the strange situation to her. "So, there was this old guy, and he got really angry and said it was dangerous." "Is that so? You mustn't do dangerous things, you know." "No, no, no, come on, old lady. I'm talking about your toilet." I was so upset that I couldn't explain the situation to her properly, and in the end, the incident was brushed aside. I stayed in that house for the next 6 months. I convinced myself it was a human, not a yokai, because that was less scary, but I was able to use the toilet just fine after that anyway. It wasn't until 10 years later that I grew afraid. Just who on earth was that old man in the other world, beneath the toilet that day?
The final stories for this week feature Temple-born T-san, a character that first appeared in 2007 and has since gone on to feature in numerous stories over the years. He started as somewhat of a comedic character, a stereotypical anime cool guy and counterpart to the scary stories that were popular at the time. But over the years he has been adapted and parodied so much that nobody really knows where the truth lies anymore. T-san has yet to appear in the Other Side Picnic anime, but he does appear in the novels, so we're going to end this week's episode with a few short escapades to potentially get you ready for his future appearance. This first one's called Woman in the Red Dress. I went out shopping on my moped. I was riding along the highway as usual when I saw a beautiful woman in a bright red dress. "Wow, she's beautiful," I thought, and then a truck coming at me from the opposite direction collided with my moped. I had learnt judo, so I was able to lessen the fall and got away with only breaking my legs. One day, 6 months later, my friend Kay was also hit by a truck. I rushed over to the hospital, but he was unconscious, and then died shortly thereafter. According to the person who had helped him at the scene, Kay muttered, "I saw a red dress and looked away." I was shocked. Was she a shinigami? I wondered. Before long, there was another accident at the same spot, a hit and run, from what I heard. There was good visibility in the area, and yet there were an awful lot of accidents there. I was sure that woman in the red dress had to be a shinigami. Several days later, I was driving along that same road with a colleague from work, T-san. His family lived in a temple, and he had an extraordinary ability to sense the supernatural. I mentioned the shinigami story to him. "Hmm," he muttered bluntly as he listened. Then, after driving for a bit, he suddenly screamed, "Her?" I looked closer, and that same woman in the red dress was walking alongside the road. "That's her! That's the woman!" I screamed. "Not her! Over there!" T-san said, pointing straight ahead. I looked closer, and
there was a woman with a caved-in face jumping in front of a truck to send it off course.
"Take the wheel," T-San said, and then stuck his upper body out the window, took aim, and screamed.
"Ha!"
Pale light shot out of both his hands and the woman's spirit disappeared.
"We're all good now," he said, and then lit a cigarette with a single hand.
It was at that moment I realized just how awesome it must be being born in a temple. In this next story, the narrator gets his first girlfriend, but when she spends the night at his house, something strange happens, and so he calls his buddy T-san over to help. Find out why in I Got a Girlfriend. I finally have a girlfriend. She's pale, short, and weak, and apparently often gets bullied at school. Wanting to protect her, I confessed, and we started dating. A month after we started going out, she came to stay at my house for the first time. Being a bit of a late bloomer, I wasn't even able to kiss her though, and after drinking, we fell asleep on the sofa. A weird noise woke me up during the middle of the night. Someone was muttering something. I peeked into the next room, wondering if my girlfriend was maybe on the phone. She had a terrifying look on her face as she muttered, "Home, home, a new home." She was shoving her hair into the gaps between the wall and the chest of drawers and underneath the cupboard, etc. I was so frightened that I couldn't say a thing and just waited for morning to arrive. My girlfriend slept peacefully, like nothing had happened. I had no idea what to do, so I called my friend T-san, a guy with strong abilities to see the supernatural who was born in a temple, and explained to him what happened. "All right, wait there, I'll be right over," he said after quietly hearing me out. I let T-san inside without alerting my girlfriend.
"This is..." he muttered when he saw her. "Get behind me. Whatever you do, stay behind me," he said, and then walked over to her. He started chanting something and then screamed, "Ha!"
All of the hair that had been planted around the room went up in flames, even the hair on her head.
"Show yourself," T-san said,
and all of my girlfriend's long hair fell out and a floating head appeared.
"You asshole, possessing this girl so you could widen your barriers."
T-san grabbed the head and then it went up in flames, screaming with its dying breaths, before turning into ash and disappearing. T-san crouched down and touched the hair, which had fallen into a heap on the ground, and murmured softly, "You guys, go back where you came from now." The soft, floating hair transplanted itself back on her head. "May the kami bless you both," T-san said with a smile, and then left. Again I realized just how awesome it must be being born in a temple. Our final story for this week is one more adventure with the amazing, the outstanding, the infallible T-san, this time on a day out at the beach. This one's called Empty Beach. I decided to go to the beach with five of my colleagues. However, there were so many people there that we couldn't have fun, so we forced ourselves to go for a drive along the coast instead. "Huh? There are no people at all here," my friend Y suddenly said. I looked outside and she was right. There wasn't a single person around, and the area was just the right size for the five of us to hang out. We went down to the beach, played volleyball, built some sandcastles, and generally had a good time.
"Hey, I used to be on the swim team, so if I can swim out to that buoy, then you have to buy me some shaved ice, okay?"
Y suddenly said. She jumped into the water without waiting for an answer. As expected,
Her beautiful swimming style saw her reach the buoy in no time. She waved at us from the open water. We waved back from the shallows, but something seemed wrong.
Huh? Is she drowning? Someone screamed.
She did seem like she was about to go under. We rushed out to save her, but unlike Y, we were slow swimmers. We weren't able to reach her, and Y looked to be going under.
That's odd, I thought, and then I dove under the surface. Numerous dark shadows were clinging to Y's body. At this rate, they'd grab us too.
I'd barely finished the thought when a surfer came towards us on a huge wave. It was T-San, born in a temple with a strong ability to sense the supernatural. He deftly maneuvered the board, picked up Y, and then rode the wave all the way back to shore.
Ha! He screamed without looking back.
Numerous bubbles floated to the surface like a floating ring, and we all grabbed it. We were safely able to make it back to shore as well.
Thank you, T-San, but why are you out here? I asked him.
Huh? This area has a reputation for water accidents every year, so I thought something might happen, he said. He put his hand over Y's chest, muttered something, and then she woke up, coughing up dirty water.
This must be a tidal current where the dead summon the dead, he said, staring out at the water.
Her face turning red, Y screamed,
I'd rather die than be saved by you.
And once again, I realized just how awesome it must be, being born in a temple.
Don't forget to check out Toshiden Volume 3, available on Amazon right now, and our newly revamped merchandise store at koabunna.store. And if you'd like to chat about this week's stories, come and join us in the Koabunna Discord. You can find that link in the description or on koabunna.net. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraADevlin for exclusive bonus stories and extras, or our YouTube channel at youtube.com/KoabunnaJapan for all sorts of Japanese horror you won't find anywhere else. Thanks, guys. Stay safe, and I'll see you again next time for even more Koabunna, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet.
Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabunna.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabunna.net now.